The Aspire podcast series has been developed by Sheffield Hallam University Aspire Scholars as a resource to support students on their career development journey. The Aspire programme is dedicated to eradicating structural racism in higher education, working collaboratively with institutions to implement policy changes that promote diversity and combat bias. By amplifying the voice of Black scholars, the programme aims to enrich the academic community with diverse perspectives and, in doing so, strengthen the foundation of knowledge for generations to come. Aspire is more than a programme, it is a catalyst for change, a path to excellence and a promise of a more inclusive tomorrow.
Hi and welcome to the Aspire podcast. Today we are joined by Dr. Frances Awolowo. Hi Frances.
Hello Tonia.
Welcome to the Aspire podcast. How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Good, thank you. And know how busy you are, so thank you very much for joining us to kick off the first episode of this new Aspire podcast. Before we delve a little bit deeper into that, tell us a bit about yourself, Frances, and your journey into academia.
Thank you very much, Tonia. My name is Ifedapo Frances Awolowo, mostly known as Frances. And my journey prior to coming to the academy has been quite interesting. I've had a bit of industry experience in different sectors. I've worked in finance, accounting, retail, marketing, and construction. So I've done a bit of real estate as well before getting bored with all those and thinking, okay, there's a higher purpose for me to do than make money, is to impact lives. And that was one of the driving force for me to transition from industry into the academy. I used to work as a fraud examiner, because I am a certified fraud examiner with the ACFE. But got tired of orders to fulfill a higher calling, in my opinion. That was what brought me into the academy. In terms of my educational background, I have 7 degrees, including a PhD in forensic accounting. I am a certified practicing accountant and equally a senior fellow of the Higher Education Academy, and of recently as well, a being a certified management and business educator. And all those just keep pushing me back into the academy. And I think I've enjoyed my time in the last 7 years of transitioning into academia. I hope that is enough in terms of my background.
That's great. And you've clearly enjoyed studying to have 7 degrees under your belt. What did you enjoy most about your studies that kind of propelled you to keep going and do more?
I think, Tonia, it opens up your mind. I'm someone that likes to question things around me. And the more exposed, the more I give myself to learning, the more my mind becomes very open, the more I begin to see new possibilities and new height that I can attain. And on top of that, I have a certificate from Harvard University as well on power and influence for positive impact. I did that earlier this year with the support of Rob Wilson, of course. I was able to get onto that program. And these programs are all blow my mind up and make me to now have a borderless thinking. And I'm more solution wired. I don't think about problem. Once there's a problem, the next thing I'm thinking about is a solution. I think all these degrees have prepared me to be able to wire myself towards a more solution-oriented individual that I'm becoming.
So you are the lead for the Aspire program at Sheffield Hallam University, which is the mechanism that has enabled us to record this podcast today. Tell us a little about what the Aspire program is and what it aims to do, Frances.
Thank you very much, Tonia. Aspire, accomplished study program in research excellence, was battered as a result of the OFS call in 2020. There was a call out, and prior to then, I've been working on how to support Black students to gain access to placement. Because what myself and my colleague observed at the time was Black students often struggle to get placement. So we did some research at our different institution over a 2-year period to try to understand what the problem was and how to better support Black students to get placement. So when the opportunity came from OFS to submit a bid, we already have similar work that we've been doing in the pipeline. We just had some sleepless night, put together a very strong proposal, and that was what battered Aspire. And what Aspire hopes to achieve is to create access and participation for Black students. What I observe in the academy is the lack of representation of Black people at senior level, not only senior level, even at entry level. And the question is, what are the reasons why people are not willing to come into the academy? And some of the statistics might probably explain why. At the moment in this country, we have just two vice chancellors that are Black. And the recent appointment came from Birmingham City University that appointed Professor Mba as their vice chancellor, who will be the first Black vice chancellor of Birmingham City University, in addition to our patron, Professor Charles Egbo, who has been the first Black vice chancellor in Europe until October this year. And those kind of statistics are discouraging. We have 23,000 professors in this country as of 2021, and only 160 of those professors are Black. And of those 160 Black professors, only 50 are women. It means my daughter doesn't have a chance. And these statistics are what motivated us as a project team on the Aspire program. That we need to change the narrative. If we want another 30 years, 50 years to change, something has got to be done. And between 2018 and 2020, UKRI awarded 20,000 studentship. And shockingly, just less than 1% was awarded to a Black student. And the question is it because we don't have that representation in the UK? That's not the case. As of 2021 census, we have 4% of Black people living in this country. And if we do the math, that means we have over 1 million Black people living in this country. And the question is, how come when you go to all organizations, you don't tend to see Black people in senior position? I've done research on Fortune 250. Representation of Black, very low. In fact, in Fortune 100, we have only one CEO that is Black. And the question is, we can't allow this to continue. It is not anybody's fault, but we need to do something about it. So what Aspire up to do within the academy is to provide personalized mentorship for Black and mixed Black heritage scholar to transition into the academy by breaking every structural barriers that prevent this Black individual from attaining greater height, and which is one of my motivation for having those degrees, Tonya, so that you can rig me out. You got to say, he's got everything. I want to live in a world where people respect you, not because of the color of your skin, but because of the solution you can provide to a problem. And I want to inspire the Black race to say, we can't achieve anything. Let's not dwell on the past. Yeah, the past is useful for us, but let's use the past as a catalyst to inform a brilliant future for us and our children and unborn children. And that is what the Aspire program tried to do, to create that access and participation for Black and mixed Black heritage students into doctoral education, so that in another 5 years, we want to have as many Black professors as possible. 300, 500 is possible. We have that number in the academy already. The only problem is the goalpost is constantly shifting when it comes to a Black person. You are aiming for the goal, and all of a sudden, the rules have changed when it's your turn. It's the sad reality, it's the sad tragedy. And that is what Aspire is trying to break. Those structural barriers that prevent Black individuals from advancing in the academy, and in part, those barriers that prevent them from coming into the academy. If we're able to pursue an anti-racist university agenda, if we see representation at every level of university management, it will be an encouragement to an aspiring young Black individual that is saying, okay, I can be whatever I want to be. Nobody will treat me differently because I'm a Black person. I think that's the level we hope we'll be able to take Aspire to. Thank you.
So over the course of the podcast series, we will be hearing from some really inspirational guests, some of whom you've mentioned there. So Dr. Charles Egbu will be appearing. So there'll be lots of inspiration for students. But in terms of the content of the programme, who do you have delivering the content of the programme, and what is some of the insights and support that students who are scholars on the program will get?
Thank you very much, Tonya. We build Aspire around five pillars. We call them the five core pillars of Aspire. And these pillars are a product of research that we've conducted. The first one is personal and professional development. Research have established that Black students suffer in low confidence. So we felt, okay, there's an opportunity here to help the Black students. Then we build a pillar around personal and professional development. And what we do on this pillar is we bring experts in this area to come and deliver workshops to our scholars on personal and professional development. How do you develop yourself as an individual? How do you develop your confidence? How do you boost your morale even when the environment is not ripe for you? Then we move to the employability block. Under the employability block, we bring experts in these areas where they help our scholar in terms of how to write a quality CV, how to write a strong cover letter, how to prepare for an interview, what to say at an interview, how to even dress for an interview. And these are the issues that this expert in this area, through a workshop and seminar symposium, deliver to our scholars. Then we have another pillar, which is wrapped around academic writing. Because the whole goal of a PhD is you must be a good writer. And the way to achieve that is through academic writing. So we bring experts again in this area, deliver workshop, series of workshop, writing techniques, how they demystify the doctoral process. Some people think a PhD is a very big thing, is a mysterious thing that not everybody can achieve. So we'll bring experts in this field to come and talk to our scholars about they demystify academic writing, they demystify the doctoral journey, and they give them different routes that you can use to achieve a PhD. Then we have the qualitative block, which looks at qualitative research and methods and techniques. And we also have the final block, which is the quantitative block, which is linked with the Q-Step certification. So when our scholar finish the quantitative block, they also get a Q-Step certificate that is delivered by MMU. And in addition to that, Tunia, we create a psychological safe space for our scholars to be able to talk about their lived experiences of race and racism in the UK. Because if we don't talk about this issue, we can't create a solution to it. So we'll create that forum every week that scholars come in. It's an informal environment. They talk about their lived experience there. And it could be things like, how come your hair looks like this? And when you hear people talk about this, it's a relief that, okay, I'm not the only one going through this. Or where are you originally from? You know, those questions at times could be very annoying. But if you realize that you are not the only one facing these kind of questions, it kind of gives you a bit of comfort. Then what we do, again, on the Aspire program is it is a reciprocal program in the sense that we bring the subject of race at the center of university. People don't often want to talk about race. So rather than not talking about it, we'll bring that conversation to you. And what we do is we run workshops for academics who are white and Asians on what racism is. Because a whole lot of the time, most people don't even know what these things are. They are everyday terminology that people use, but people don't really understand what is racism, in what shape or form does it exist. So we talk about critical whiteness, white privileges, white frugality, and the likes. And we bring experts to talk to our academics who are white and Asian origin. And a good example I like to use is this. Most of our Black scholars are either first generation to go to university, which means when they go back home, there is no support mechanism. But for a white student, it might be maybe fourth generation. So even if they are not studied, if your uncles have not studied the courses you are currently studying, they've been to the four walls of the university education system. They know what it's like. They are able to provide such white students with every support in terms of financial, emotional, psychological, but that is not a given for a Black student. But when the Black student now come to the academy, the hope and expectation is that we are able to provide that support. But if you don't understand where someone is coming from, you are not able to provide them with the right support. If you've never been in someone's shoe, you never will understand what go through. So what we do with our white academics is to elevate their level of understanding, that this is the journey of a Black student. And when you have that understanding, you are able to provide them targeted support based on their lived experiences, not based on what you suppose to be an ID student, because an ID student does not exist. Because we have different backgrounds, we come from different places in life, and we might need different support. And that's what Aspire has been all about. It's targeted at raising role models, raising scholars that would go about to change the world through doctoral education. And it's also about elevating the knowledge base of our white colleagues and Asian colleagues about the lived experience of race and racism in the UK.
And for any of our listeners who are interested in finding more about doctoral study, we will have an episode with Alicia Ali, who will provide more insight. So do check out that episode. So Francis, what's been your favourite part of the Aspire programme so far?
My favourite part, Tonia, is seeing the impact this programme is having on the life of the scholar. One scholar sent me an email and said, "Thank you, Francis. I never thought I would one day become a doctor. But because of the Aspire program, I have now had an unconditional offer to study a PhD at the University of Leeds. This was made possible by Aspire. That made my day. And to be honest, Tonya, it made my year. And that's what I intend to achieve. That we, so far, we have mentored 46 students. That's the greatest highlight for me. That we have impacted 46 lives. And my idea is if those 46 scholars go about to impart another 46, it means we'll be having about 2,100 plus lives, Black life, motivated, inspired to do greater things. If those 2,100 plus inspire another 2,100 plus, the world becomes a better place for all of us. That's the highlight for me on the program, seeing the tangible impact the program is making in the life of these Black students and seeing how the program has provided us platform to influence university policy. That gladdens my heart a whole lot. We've been able to influence two university policy at Alam, and I'm grateful to our leaders at Sheffield Alam University who have open mind. They are very open to change. And once you engage with them through intelligence and skillful communication, they are able to apply themselves to knowledge and say, "I think we reason with you. This has got to change."
And it sounds, Francis, as though the programme has impacted many of the scholars who've participated and they're achieving great things. What are your hopes for the programme? So where do you hope that the programme will be in the next 5 years?
Thank you very much, Tonya. I've been reflecting a lot about that in the last 3 months over the summer. That was what I was thinking. What will be the legacy of Aspire? And I've been having conversation with my bosses, with Professor Rob Wilson. We're like, what's going to happen to Aspire post 2026? We want to take Aspire from a regional program to a national program. And with the funding we have so far, with the blessing we have from OFS, we have impacted 46. We're planning to impact another 40 for the last cohort. But I want Aspire to metamorphose into a national mentorship program for Black students. And why not dream bigger, Francis? Let's make it a global initiative. Can Aspire become a global platform to mentor Black students across the world? That is what I hope we can do, that with the impact we have made, with the small funding that we have, it means we have more access to resources. It means we can do a national Aspire program in this country, and we can probably run a global program that will impact the life of many Black individuals, or we go ahead to change their world and make the world a better place for us.
If you had had access to a program like Aspire yourself when you started on your university professional journey, how do you think you would have benefited personally and professionally?
Thank you so much, Tonya. That is a $1 billion question. I think I am grateful. Let me say this. I am a privileged being. I have been privileged to have access to some very good white folks who saw a greater potential in me that I never saw when I started my university education, and they held me by the hand and pulled me through. I am genuinely grateful to those guys. And I'm talking about Professor Nigel Garrow, Dr. Murray Clark, Dr. Dora Chan, Professor Rob Wilson, Professor Connor Marks. These are guys that saw potential in me that I never saw. But I didn't necessarily have a Black person to look up to in the academy when I came in. So if I hadn't had those guys, I wouldn't be where I am today. So upon reflection, if I've seen a meaningful Black individual in the academy at the time I entered, I am grateful to God where I am today. But maybe I will be a professor by now. I am close. I am grateful that I am close. But maybe the story will have been different, because as much as the support I received from Professor Rob Wilson, there could be something else that it would not be able to see because he is a white man with a good heart. If it was a black man in a senior position like him, would have been able to signpost me to some opportunities that probably Professor Rob Wilson might have missed. But having said that, I am grateful because I am still a privileged black man who have access to the right people who have signposted me to the trajectory my career is currently going. But I wish I had aspired 10 years ago. It will have changed my world completely. Maybe I'll be running for office for PM now. Who knows?
Is that something you want to do, Francis?
In the words of Jason, I think it's faster to be a prime minister than to be a professor in the UK, because it took Rishi Sunak less than 7 years entering politics to be prime minister. I've been in the academy nearly 8 years. I'm just close to an associate professor. So maybe if I join any political party now in another 7 years, Tonya, you'll have a British prime minister sitting in front of you.
Maybe, but maybe they won't be as fulfilled as you seemed to be in your role, Francis.
Okay, I rest my case.
We're just drawing to the end of our time together, Francis, but how do you feel about being now a role model to other scholars? Because you mentioned when you started on your journey that there was a lack of representation, and actually the people that supported you were from a different background to yourself, didn't look like you. How do you feel now being a role model for scholars?
I'm just grateful, Tonya. It's just when I look back and seeing the influence and the platform I now have to be able to influence other Black individuals, I am just grateful that what I didn't have, I am now able to provide. And like the saying goes, of whom much is given, much is expected. And this is what I've dedicated the rest of my life to pursue, to inspire as many Black individuals as possible, that greatness is possible. Keep the faith, keep the hope alive, and pursue your dream with discipline and integrity. Because as a people, as a race, we need to recognize something. Nobody gives you a seat at the table. You need to work for that seat at the table. And the moment you have something of value to offer to the world, people will listen to you. People will pay for it. I'm not there yet. I'm still on a journey myself, but I am grateful where I am, and I'm happy with the access and opportunity that I have to be able to influence more Black life. We now see our LinkedIn post going viral. We see most of our accomplishment now published in the likes of Forbes. We're having conversation article, working with TG Consulting as well. I've been a blessing to our life. We now have access to go to the parliament to talk about what we're doing. That is just impressive. And it means we have a more bigger platform. It means we will do more. I'm just grateful that I live a life that is worthy of emulation for other Black individuals, that you can achieve whatever you want to achieve if you keep the faith.
Francis, thank you so much for joining us to kick off the Aspire podcast series, and congratulations on the success of the Aspire program.
Thank you, Tonya.
And to our listeners, if you are a Sheffield Hallam University student, do go and find out about the Aspire program and how it can benefit you. To the rest of our listeners, we do hope that the content over the next few episodes will support and inspire you in your career journey, regardless of what your future plans are. We look forward to presenting you with more episodes over the next few weeks.
Sheffield Hallam University is one of UK's largest and most diverse universities, with a community of around 37,000 students. The university's mission is simple: they transform lives. Sheffield Hallam is an award-winning university, recently receiving gold in the Teaching Excellence Framework for outstanding support for student access and progression. Individuals from all backgrounds are provided with the opportunity to acquire skills, knowledge, and experience to succeed at whatever they choose to do.